Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
It's the Two Johnnies Podcast, the Two Johnnies Podcast,
Two Johnnies record in a podcast.
Hello, hello, hello.
You're welcome to the Two Johnnies Podcast, bringing you all the mayhem and news from the world of the Two Johnnies.
I'm Johnny B.
And I'm Johnny Smacks. Lads and ladettes, time to shake off those bank holiday blues, and no better way than enjoying podcast number 68, coming to you live and exclusive from Two Johnnies HQ, Kerr, County Tipperary. On this week's podcast, we are discussing all things holidays. We're asking why people go abroad on holidays instead of just exploring everything Ireland has to offer.
He's taking a break from scarring young fellas and cutting silage to visit us today. Noel Furlong is in the house and he'll be here with the news.
We're joined once again by the reigning Miss Clare. Lauren G is in the house and ready to ruin our life with our mystery topic this week.
And we finished the podcast with our weekly segment that's as traditional as an Irish person smuggling Barry's tea with them on holidays. It is, of course, Yurt and Dirt.
Before commencing with proceedings, matters arising from last week's podcast.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. John Callanan on Facebook said, "Ree Samba Soccer. Never did the Samba camp myself, but my brother did it and came home one day saying that they had so many footballs up there that he kicked one into a ditch and they didn't even get it. They just threw in another one. I had the bright idea that we'd go up and get the balls that he kicked into the ditch. Went up to the field and boom, jackpot. Two balls in the ditch. Brought them home and thought I was great with my two new footballs. Anyway, myself and the brother were scheming and decided on the last day he'd kick a few more footballs over the ditch and we'd go up and retrieve them. Camp over, we went up and came out with four footballs each, carrying them home under our arms when one of the coaches drives past and sees us with eight footballs between us coming out from the soccer field. He came up to the mother's door, took all our footballs, and the mother wouldn't let us go to Tip and Cork in the hurling the following week. Disaster." That's right, because John, you were talking about going to Samba Soccer.
Samba Soccer lad in Bury, yeah.
In Offaly.
Where Samba starts. Rachel Hickey on Instagram says, "Well, lads, listening to the new podcast and about Smacks doing the Samba Soccer. The brother and I did in Waterford back in the day, and one of the coaches was Noel Hunt before he became an actual professional footballer over in England. I think I still have the kids somewhere at home. Oh, and we called that game 40-40 as well. Those were the days. Loves the podcast." And 40-40 was, yeah, that game is kind of like hide and seek. Noel Hunt was their coach. He went on to be a professional soccer player. Some lad from Furban was my coach. He went on to work in a Spar. Not really fair. I feel shortchanged.
Anonymous on Snapchat said to us, "You might just say to Noel there that I have no issue whatsoever with Tip getting on top of Watford and driving it for 70 minutes plus injury time." Yes, this person is from Watford, a young lady. She said also, Spin the Bottle is still being played by over 30s. Day after my friend's wedding last year and late into the night, a game started in the smoking area of a pub. All involved were in relationships and the bride was playing too. Just harmless kisses and no fallout from it. It's just a bit of crack. Or is it a bit dodgy? I think with the right people, it's crack. But if one person doesn't see it that way, then everyone is in big trouble, I'd say." That's some start to married life, isn't it?
I'll tell you one thing. They have a name for that. It's called a fucking swingers party. That's what that is. That's what that is. Podge Moran emailed podcast.
Spin the bottle. Keys in a bowl. Go on, sorry.
Pampas grass outside the front door. Podge Moran emailed podcast at thetwojohnnies.ie and says, "Well, lads, I have a childhood story for yous. When I was younger, much like yourselves, I was hanging out of trees coming home mucked up to the eyeballs. But one day I had to go see the doctor and I'd been climbing trees all morning. When I got to the doctor's, he lifted up the shirt to listen to my breathing or whatever they do, and I had big scratches from the branches all over my stomach and chest. The doctor looked horrified. He then asked my mother how it happened, and she said she didn't know. He then asked me, did your mother do this to you? And I must have been pissed off that she took me out of the trees or something, because I answered back, yeah, she did. The mother was furious. The doctor asked her to leave the room, please, while they talked to me privately. It was all cleared up fairly quickly, though. I must have come clean because child services were never involved. Good times. Fucking hell.
That's so harsh.
Hodge, boy, you're harsh on the mother there.
Yeah. Fucking hell. Kids can be cruel. Another Snapchatter says, well, Johnny, just listen to this week's podcast about children. When I was younger, I used to be a whore for getting dad to buy me jerseys. I had a rake of county jerseys, all the Munster ones, Kilkenny, Galway, Wexford, the list goes on. Because of that, I'd spend the weekends outside on my own playing full championships of hurling. I'd get the father to call me every 10 or 15 minutes for half time so I could change jerseys to give both teams a chance of winning. I'd be out from Saturday morning until Sunday night commentating on all the games, and the only break I'd have would be for dinner and then mass on Sunday morning. Safe to say, plenty of All-Irelands were won on the lawn and all done. Ah, there you go, with O'Brien Hurleys, with my Hurleys. I'm 19 now and I doubt there's a child in the country that does that anymore, and that's only 6 or 7 years ago. And that comes in, he describes himself as Paddy McCarty's son in Caroline. That's right, I remember Paddy well from Caroline. They got a lot of Hurleys off me, sound men.
An anonymous man in Cork messages to say, well, lads, you might keep my name off this. We just did. Listening to last week's podcast and on about young lads with the phones. I do a bit of hurling training down here in Cork with an under-11 team. Fine young hurlers, I'll let you know. Anyway, training there last week, putting them through their paces. Flat out for the hour and a bit. And I blow the whistle to end training. Called them in for a big speech and how we have a big game coming up. And everybody was to be there on Wednesday when a phone goes off. As you would, I checked my pockets in case I got an old Tinder message or something. Or I was getting a call, but nothing. Then I was still going off and I looked into the huddle when a young lad, who was after doing the full training, running around and playing a match at the end, pulled out the phone from his pocket and said, sorry, the boys keep prank calling me. I looked on, frazzled, and asked him, did he have the phone for the whole session? And he said, yeah, you never know who might message me. I kept in the laugh and gave him a warning about not bringing it again. Fucking phones.
What?
That's scandalous. Crazy.
An under-11 done a full hurling training session with a phone in his pocket.
In case somebody'd be messaging him.
What was he going to do? Like, catch a high ball and clear it and then just send a text message?
Streaks.
Yeah. Selfie, just scored.
Selfie, just banged 1-6 of training.
Who would be messaging an 11-year-old?
As you said, Johnny, streaks.
Fortnite. Some shite like that, like. He could be selling stocks and shares or something, is he, like?
Revolut, like.
He's not a vet on call, like. Official Mark Stan on Insta. Oh, official Mark. Yeah. Not to be confused with the unofficial Mark Stan account messaging us in previous weeks. Spurious. The Mark Stan fan page is on to us as well. Anyway, Mark Stan, he was listening to podcast 67. Great episode. Thank you, official Mark Stan. I lived when the change from a proper childhood turned into the social media childhood. It's sad to see I have a 5-year-old brother and he does not understand that YouTube was unheard of when I was around his age. And he says to me, what did you do for fun? I said, we went outside and we used our imagination. He says to me, how do you use your imagination?
Jesus.
That to me is a sign that something needs to change because kids nowadays don't know what a child is. He says, keep up the podcast. We will. That is mental.
Yeah.
A child saying, how do you use your imagination? I thought that's all kids had. They don't have facts or experience, but they should have mental imaginations.
It sounds like this lad, poor old devil, has got fuck all.
I'd be out in the garden, I'd be shooting lads that weren't there at all.
Yeah. If you're running around taunting yourself.
Yeah.
I was best friends with myself when I was younger. Now, we've been sent some absolute crackers regarding team names in soccer particularly, and we're loving it. Some of our favourites this week we've been sent is a team called Inter Kenmare, Sneem Santos, QPR, Quarry Park Rangers, which is just outside Killarney. And I think my favourite was Aston Village. Aston Village. Oh my God. Our last message this week is from Peter McNichol on Insta about this exact subject. He says, a wee story about local soccer team names. There was a local soccer team here in County Antrim. They're from Ballymoney and they are called Byron Money. They wear the full Bayern Munich kit too. Logo the same. Bayern Munich found out and continued to send them official letters telling them to change their name due to copyright infringement. The lads continued to ignore them until they got letters from Bayern Munich's lawyers. And like, this is the truth as well, because this guy attached an article with it from like the Irish Times that Bayern Munich had contacted this team in Antrim.
Bayern Money.
Bayern Money. So I don't know if the lads have changed the name. I presume they probably had to, or else they got sued.
Like, why did they just... Why do you have Bayern Munich crests on your jersey?
When I used to play with a team in Ross Gray called Streamstown, underage.
You made that up?
No. Streamstown, honestly. Like, no, it's not a funny name. Like, that's just called Streamstown. And for some reason, and nobody ever actually spoke about it until this day, our kit was a full Burnley kit.
What?
It was a full, like, Burnley kit. So Burnley were in, like, fucking Division 3 at the time, I would say. And, like, it was full end of slay. Like, the English bank was the sponsor. And it had a Burnley crest. And we had the shorts and socks and everything. And still, I'd say one of the lads were working in, like, fucking JJB or something. And got these kits as knockoffs for free or something. And we wore them underage all the way through. Full Burnley kits. And it was never referenced. It's not like we were called, like, you know, FC Burnley or anything, like. We're called Streamstown, and we just wore Burnley kits.
What age is this?
Like, we wore them from under 12 up to like 16, I suppose. Same jerseys.
Get photos, lad, will ya?
I'll try and get photos of that. Yeah, I'll ask the mother if she got a photo. Yeah, Streamstown. If anybody's listening who played on that and they have any photos, there is one photo going around from a medal presentation at the Seat Hall in Ross Gray. If anybody listening can get me that photo.
You in a Burnley kit.
Yeah, lad, it's full on Burnley jersey. And back, it used to be like, it was a big check, so it was like... Aston Villa colours and Burnley colours are like claret and blue, kind of.
Yeah.
And it was that exact kit with Endlessly and Burnley on it. Yeah.
Oh my god.
For no reason. And nobody ever said, like, hey lads, you know, why don't we have our own jersey? Why are we wearing a fucking Burnley jersey? Now the adults Streamstown wore, like, the Streamstown Celtics, so they wore green and white hoops. But okay. Then, like, at under 12 we wore Burnley kits.
There must have been a decent second hand shop in Ross Gray.
I'd say
second hand shop, no. Yeah.
For a full kit.
I'm trading in 20 underage Burnley jerseys. I didn't need them anymore. I had them and then I didn't need them, so, you know.
They were definitely adult jerseys as well.
But they're massive on the
waist. Yeah, they were huge on us, like, apart from me, obviously. They just fitted me down to the ground.
And then you moved to Killavilla.
Yeah.
But their kit is fair like Real Madrid.
Which one?
They had a white one there for a while.
That was like that was an away one, an all white one. Yeah, it was blue and black was the original. Inter Milan.
Inter Milan.
Yeah, pure Inter Milan. But honestly, yeah, I don't know why we wore the Burnley kits. If anybody's listening that can shed some light on that, I'd love to know.
Okay, lads, who deserves the Noel's News mug? Kindly sponsored and designed by hairybaby.com. Doing great merchandise.
Yeah, lovely two Johnny's merchandise as well.
I like the lad who accused his mother of abusing him.
Yeah, I do like that now myself.
Should that kind of behaviour be reinforced?
Yes.
Yeah. I like Paddy McCarthy's son in Caroline, who says, like, he was out like playing full on All-Ireland and his father come out and tell him, hey, it's half time, change his kit.
His father deserves the cup.
Yeah, his father, yeah.
I actually have Paddy McCarthy's number. I'm going to ring him, son.
But there we go, he's winning the mug, so are we all happy with that?
Yeah.
Yeah, lovely stuff.
Great. Paddy
McCarthy's changing at half time. Ah, fuck.
Would it be however much he scored in the first half, they might win.
Yeah. And then, like, would he be heartbroken at the end if he didn't get it? Like, you know, you're walking around in his Cork jersey, like, heartbroken. Like, fuck, Kilkenny are after winning.
He might go full John Terry and change kit for the presentation.
Lovely. He's the winner of this week's Noel's News Mug.
Now, Johnny, the weekly roundup.
What's been going on, lad?
Well, a lot of people have been asking. And yes, we had our local county councillor on just before the election. He was telling us what they do. And congrats to our local man, Andy Maloney. He topped the poll.
He absolutely pissed it in. Yeah. He got in the first count. Landslide victory. And, you know, we're not saying it's entirely down to us, but just probably 97% of it is.
Yeah, he did do some canvassing, but it's mostly our interview. And actually, typical old politician, we were like, Andy, you'll surely get in. And he was like, you know, you wouldn't know. Like, you know, last time it was very close, you know. Yeah. We were like, go away, was it? And then I was asking the father, and he was like, no, I think he tapped it last time as well. Old politicians, by the way. And he was great.
He told me he got in the last time on the ninth count.
Ah, bollocks.
What a fucking... Ah, oh, Jesus. Typical.
In fairness, he was out the next day and out doing the...
He was potting plants, lad, in the square.
Yeah.
He was for the tidy towns, by the way. Come on, Andy, by.
Now, we said to you, we put a lady forward for Miss Tipperary, Alyssa. And Lauren was MC, and she didn't win.
Alyssa didn't win.
It wasn't in my hands, lads. I'm sorry.
Well, it should have been.
There wasn't enough money in the brown envelope.
Were you handed the envelope to announce the winner?
Yes.
Yes. Why didn't you just call out her name and then, you know,
there would have been a steward's inquiry and then my career in MCing would have been over.
Yeah, but we'd had a winner. You know what I mean?
I did, to be fair now, I did push the Two Johnnies brand and I asked her all about it and I asked her what the connection was. I really tried to get the name out there. Maybe that was the downfall. I'm not sure.
Yeah, the judges probably hate those fucking pricks.
You're one who won it is from Care as well.
Yeah, Kirsty. She is. Yeah, congrats to Kirsty as well.
Can't believe it.
At least someone from Care won it anyway.
Yeah, on so Care.
That's the main thing.
And we have a bone to pick with Miss Tipperary now. You can't enter if you have a child.
You can't. There was a lot of other restrictions that they have gotten rid of. The height restriction is gone. So you never know. Maybe down the line they'll get rid of that as well.
What was the height restriction?
Was it 5'8"?
You had to be
over.
That's tall.
You can't be married. There's an age restriction. That's
is there?
Been, yeah, it's between 17 and 26, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Because Miss Ireland was decrowned a couple of years ago. She lied about her age. Oh, Nadine Coyle-esque.
Did I say 85?
What age was Miss Ireland who won it?
I think she was 28 when she won, and she lied and said she was 25 and she was stripped of her title.
She should be given a medal winning Miss Ireland at 28.
She was pretty fab and she was one of the last entries in, so she kind of blew everyone out of the water.
That's there's plenty of yummy mummies out there, you know, who could be crowned.
Yeah, they all deserve chance. You
know? There are though the Miss Ireland, the Miss Mother Ireland competitions. It isn't just restricted
fuck that,
to
that's
Miss
great.
Ireland.
That's like the Laurie Marr.
The Laurie Marr of pageantry.
It's a Nicky Rackard. No, you want to be going for Liam McCarthy.
Yeah, 100%. Also this week, our club had a game scheduled for Bank Holiday Monday.
A Junior B hurling game. The second round of the Junior B Championship is on a Bank Holiday Monday at 6:30 in the evening.
Now, we spoke about the Southport here before on this podcast. You know, I don't know. Whatever, if it was a senior game, these lads are dedicated. They'd probably stay in on a Sunday night. But fucking Junior B on a Bank Holiday Monday, there'll be lads with heads like burst couches.
The June Bank Holiday weekend is one of the great drinking weekends of the year for country people. We're doing a big gig on the Sunday.
We are. Yeah.
And there'll be heap of lads at it.
You can be sure the full Junior B team on both sides, I would imagine, will be at it.
Like, why couldn't they play it Saturday evening?
Friday evening.
Saturday morning. Get it out of the way, good and early.
Well, I know, there's lads doing silage now and all. No, in fairness, like, the first cut is on. But you could play it, you could play it like 5 o'clock Saturday.
Yeah.
It's Kerr versus my Rovers, who are from Clamel. They're like,
is it not Pats, no?
Is it Pats?
I thought it was Pats.
But it'll be on somewhere within a 20-minute drive of Care. Have it at like 5:30 Saturday evening and let lads enjoy
the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to encourage lads to play, not make it hard for them.
There's no sense behind it. I don't see it.
There's no, as F. Neddy would say, there's no crut to it. There is no crut to it. That's anything else you want to say about that?
No, just fucking bastards.
As Noel was saying on Twitter, give people what they want.
Yeah.
With 30 lads absolutely dying. Sledging, flogging each other.
We're also, by the time this goes out, we'll have played the West Awake. So it's our only festival show in Tipperary this year. And it's our only time we're going to be in Tip this year. So hopefully that will have went well. If not, we will bury our heads in the sand.
It's a full band show. And our next one, we're doing the Sunday on C Sessions.
Yep.
That's going to be deadly. Looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's going to be good crack, lad. We're on before Dermot Kennedy, if anybody knows him.
No pressure there.
Local artist.
Quite different, you know, music genres, I would say.
You know, he plays guitar, I play guitar, you know. He wears jumpers.
Yeah, you wear jumpers.
I wear jumpers.
He's got a head. You've got a head.
You know, he's a nephew of Mary Kennedy.
From Nationwide.
Yeah.
Do you know, I have a good story there, lads. You're going to enjoy this.
Oh, go on.
I was at Dermot Kennedy a couple of weeks ago and we were pretty late getting to the gig because it was the last minute. One of the girls had to come up from Cork for the gig. So we eventually got into a car park in Christchurch there, close to the Olympia.
Yeah.
And like really narrow spaces now in this car park and time was ticking. So like I wanted to get moving. And we got up to like maybe the top level on the car park and there was this car in front of me and this man did not know how to park his car. He was pulling in and pulling out and pulling this way and pulling that way. And we noticed there was this group of people beside us and they were kind of laughing. I was laughing going, geez, your man hasn't a clue what he's at. Your man eventually parked. I parked. We got out. Turns out it was Mary Kennedy. It was her husband that couldn't park who I was taking the piss out of. And she was also on her way to the gig. But she, yeah, she laughed it off. But
fucking hell, you know Dermot Kennedy, don't you?
Don't bring that up.
Do you wanna tell us how you know Dermot Kennedy? Go on, we'll cut it out.
Not.
So back in 2013, I was Miss Clare, and we were out busking. Not busking, we were collecting money for charity on Grafton Street, and there was a young man with a guitar busking away, and he was pretty good. Sure, we were looking and he was looking, and that was grand. You know, didn't take any more notice of it now. And all we had on were, we had like a white t-shirt, pair of shorts and our sash. So mine would have said Miss Clare. And about a week later, I get a message on Facebook from a young Dermot Kennedy, basically sliding into my DMs. But I had a boyfriend at the time from Lochamore, and I was just too nice. and I couldn't entertain this message for a long time. So I just replied and was just very nice, and I just, you know, left him hanging after that. And sure, a couple of years later, didn't his songs come out? And I said, that name is very familiar. Went back through my Facebook messages, and didn't I... I left Dermot Kennedy hanging. So if you hear the song Bitch on Grafton Street... It's about me.
Do you know what? I think it might be time to reply.
Yeah, yeah.
And I went back and checked, and he has deactivated his account. And I'm no longer with the fella from Lochmore.
I was just about to say, the fella from Lochmore hasn't had international chart success, I'm guessing.
Lochmore or Lochamore?
Lochamore, never bet.
Lochmore.
Where's that?
Castellini.
No.
Lochmore, Castellini.
But the way you say it, it's a big clear A in the middle. I thought it was like Lochamore.
Lochamore.
Oh, lads, you don't know the crack at all down here in South Tip.
Lochamore.
Lochamore, never a bit.
Lochmore, like Norm McGrath, Lochmore. Yeah. There's no A in Lochmore.
So, Lauren, you could have been the significant other for Dermot Kennedy.
All them songs about you know, about birds flying around.
Yeah, maybe it was me that broke his heart.
Yeah.
I doubt it somehow.
And you settled for a fullback from Lochmore. Fucking hell. What a week it's been. Now, we're asking people to send us in cool stuff for the studio. If you've got some class memorabilia. So we got sent this week, we got sent a 1997 photo of John Lahey. And it's like proper Polaroid field and all. It is photo proper paper. Photo. Yeah. Photo paper, yeah. Of John Lahey, no helmet on there, solo in the way. We also got sent a Bosco doll, which is class. It's actually a wooden Bosco doll. And
that came from County Waterford.
Yeah, and also this week...
You know, we mentioned our favourite man on Instagram is a country, I suppose he's like country rock
yeah.
singer, Marty Moan. And Marty Moan was running a competition for Marty Moan Light. All right, folks, competition time. Marty Moan here. Just tag two friends to win a Marty Moan Light. Good for looking at printers.
Mechanicking.
Reading books late at night.
So Marty went and sent us out two lights.
They've got MartyMoanMusic.com down the side, and it's autographed Marty Moan. It looks like a big pencil.
Yeah.
And it's got a clip on it that you could clip into your shirt. And it's quite bright.
It is fair bright.
It's fair bright.
It's a fair good light.
Now, why a country singer is selling lamps, you know, pocket torches, I'm not 100% sure. Marty was onto us on Instagram, and he said, I hope that all your printers are in good working order. And I said, Marty, I'm just waiting for the printer to break down so that I can whip out your lights.
And he also autographed the lights as well. So a nice touch from Marty. We've also been sent a bottle of...
Vossy Bop.
Do you know the rapper, lad, Stormzy? Right? Yeah. You're probably nodding it to your headphones now going, oh yeah, I know Stormzy. Well, Stormzy has this, I don't know, it's like cognac or something, is it?
Yeah, so we got an email during the week, and it was like, the subject line was The Two Johnnies and Stormzy. And I was like, fuck, he hardly wants to do a duet, does he? And I went into that, and it was, so Stormzy and Warner Music have sent us out two bottles of Vossy Pop.
B-O-P.
Yeah, whatever it is.
And it says Vossy on Bop. Atlantic Records UK, a division of Warner Music UK, and they've sent us this bottle. It looks like cognac. It is 40% alcohol, and it's a 700ml bottle, and it's got lyrics of one of his songs on the back.
Yeah.
My brothers don't dab, we just Vossy Bop. And it goes on like that.
That's about the lads from Lochmore, of course.
Lochamore. And it's a Stormzy Vossa. So Stormzy, the rapper, has sent us two nice bottles of this. Yeah. We're not sure exactly what it is.
Yeah, we're going to drink it, though, anyway. We're going to sink it, and we're going to have a good weekend.
So Stormzy, thanks for listening.
Yes, sound out, Stormzy, lad. If you ever want to collab, you know, we're massive in the Irish grime scene. And that's just the shoots on our house, covered in grime. All right. Topic number one. Santa Ponza, Marbella and Lanzarote. Who needs them? Here on the Two Johnnies podcast, we're about to put Ireland back on the map as a tourist destination for both us Irish and the tourists further afield. Johnny B, man, what's the story?
Right, holidaying in Ireland. Our first market is the domestic market. What do Irish people want and how are we going to sell it to them? How are we going to give it to them? We want to know what they're doing. What time they're doing it at.
Where they're going doing it.
That's if they're going to do nothing at all. I think what Irish people want in Ireland is the crack and the pints and a bit of sightseeing. Okay, hold your horses, Johnny. We'll get to that. I think Irish people want no stress. You're going tipping around Ireland because it's handy. You want quaint little places. This is what I think the Irish woman is after, Johnny. Do you know what she's after?
Pretty little things.
Cottages. Cottages with turf fires.
Picket fence.
Maybe a hot tub. And the crack. I think Irish people want the crack and the pints. And that's why the big places are doing well. The Dublin, the Killarney, the Galway. That'd be my take. Johnny?
Yeah. Holiday in Ireland, I think there's like two types of holidays. So there's holidays you go on when you're a young lad, which you've got probably two options in Ireland.
The family holiday.
Yeah, the family holiday. So you're talking about Salt Hill or Tramore. And they're basically the same thing. Hurdy-gurdies, mini golf, and an indoor swimming pool that's fucking fairly unhealthy. I would say you'd be as well off open water swimming now than Splash World in Tramore. But that's the only type of holiday I've been on in Ireland, bar a drinking holiday.
That's you.
Yeah, but I'm thinking that.
Yeah, the kids' holiday, I suppose. What's the one up the country? Betty's Town would take in a lot of people of that end of the country would go there.
Never heard of it.
That's County Meath just sticks its toe out and has a tiny bit of coastline.
Right.
So Betty's Town is like the Tramore of, like...
For dubs.
Yeah. A lot of dubs go to Wexford.
True.
Wexford
don't commit to the hurdy-gurdies, though, lad.
No.
Like Tramore, lad.
I like Tramore. I remember the last time I was in Tramore, it's all, you know, slot machines and fairground shite. There was young lads there and they'd been playing the machines and, you know, you get the ticket. These young lads, I'm not joking, they must have had 1,000 tickets. He had a bale. It was like a bale of silage, but it was tickets. And I was like, what are you going to do? And he's like, I have enough tickets for a laptop. Well, boy.
What he actually had enough tickets for was the box belonging to a laptop.
No, he got a tablet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was, we were shooting Summer Tune, the video.
Yeah, it was like a knockoff, iPad or whatever. They're good crack when you're young.
Yeah.
But like, you know, are you talking about 3 days max there before everyone starts killing each other?
It's a short window, that.
I think why Ireland might do well with Irish people is that fucking getting away from the phone and the busyness. You want to just take off. Where am I staying? I don't know. I have a fucking B&B booked in Dingle. And after that, I don't know.
The freedom that comes
with
the holiday.
That's what I think Irish people would like in Ireland. But yeah, that wouldn't be yours then.
That's just anxiety, lad, to me. I like to know where I'm going.
What time you're going there.
What time I'm going there, lad. Who I'm going there with.
That's if you're going there at all.
Yeah.
Lauren, would you be more like me? I think a lot of Irish people want to just run away, like, if they're staying in Ireland.
Yeah, absolutely. Go down and explore the countryside. And if you're anything like me, you haven't got a plan. You'll just drive and follow the road.
I feel like you're fucking ganging up on me here now. You're making me out to be some sort of a recluse.
No, you like, what if you were to holiday in Ireland, what would you be looking for?
Beer.
Yeah.
Just crack and night out, music. Music, a few drinks, bit it. Like, you know, yeah, you can go and see all the sights. But, like, you know, you can see them on your computer screen too. Which is, you know, my exact point.
Do you want to get into sightseeing, so?
Yeah, I don't mind. Like I went up the Cliffs of Moher, you know.
One of the most visited sites in Ireland.
Yes, and I went up because Westlife shot a music video there.
Which one?
Coast to Coast.
Coast to Coast. I want to see what the crack was. So I went up. Fucking took me ages to get up. Paid around €8 for a fucking coffee and a scone at the bottom of it. First of all, that's a whole different kettle of fish. Got up to the top of whatever this fucking Cliffs of Moher thing is. Fog.
What did you see?
I swear to God, nothing. I could not see 2 yards ahead of me. Fog everywhere. And I just thought, like, if this is what sightseeing is, I'm done. And while I was down there, I said, oh, do you know what I'll go and see now as well? Father Ted's house. Not even Father Ted's house.
It is from the outside.
Yeah, but like, you can't go. You pull up, park at the gate, get a picture taken, and then like you've drove around 40 minutes on shit roads to get there.
It's totally not worth it. And plus, now it's a private gaff. There's a sign saying, please stop parking here and taking photos. Like, yeah. Someone is living there.
I've been in there.
How'd you get in?
There was a fundraiser a couple of years ago and when it was Miss Clare.
Okay. Were you Miss Clare?
Shut up, okay? But no, parts of it actually were filmed in there and they have memorabilia everywhere. So it is cool if you get the chance to go in, to go in.
Okay. The thing that has become big in Ireland in the last couple of years is in the sightseeing thing, Johnny. I don't know if it's the Instagram generation or what, or people, like I said, trying to get away from the phone, trying to get healthier, but walking, hiking, as they call it. Like, if you go back 10 years, the only people who went hiking on mountains were, you know, your business studies teacher who hated his life and was verging on alcoholism. So at the weekends, he just went walking. Now, like, cool people go walking. Bloggers,
yeah,
but, and all.
Yeah, but you're billing this walking as a holiday.
No, but I'm just saying.
That's effort. A holiday is meant to be relaxing. You want to traipse up a fucking mountain. That's not a holiday. That's not a holiday. A holiday is like, oh, I'm so chilled out. I'm fucking lying by a pool here, drinking a peach daiquiri. That's relaxing.
Yeah, but Ireland doesn't do that. We don't have sun.
Yeah, but now we've got Central Parks. Just, they've roofed everything.
I'm interested to see what that's going to be like when it opens.
You can lie outside. You know, it can piss rain down pop you.
Just, you can't compare like for like. Ireland does not do sun holidays. Ireland only has like 2 or 3 outdoor pools in the whole country.
Yeah. Like, you know, climate change is coming. We should embrace it here in Ireland. We'll have good weather for 3 months.
We can't offer what Santa Ponsa offers.
We can offer what Santa Ponsa offers, except the sun.
Yeah.
You know, Santa Ponsa is wild, loose, cheap. And, you know, loads of Irish music. Why can't, like, CARE embrace that? And just be like, right, we're the Santa Ponsa of Ireland. Come here, get pissed. We'll take in a load of money.
As in the stag hen crowd, kind of.
I don't see why not. I don't see why not.
I'd love to know how the towns do that. Like, how does Carrick and Shannon get loads of stags and hens?
Lenient cops.
But it's not that big a place.
No, but you need, seriously, no, you need, I'm not saying, you know, cops are crooked and
you need them
rules
on your side.
But you need them on your side. You need to be saying to them, look, this stag and hen industry is bringing a lot of money into the town. Everybody's benefiting. You know, don't be fuckers, you know. Like, put it this way. This is probably going to be controversial. If you go to Carrick on Shannon on the stag and you heard the guards are fuckers, they're bagging every morning when you're leaving at 8 o'clock in the morning, you know, or they're bagging all the next day. You're not going to be enticed to go there on the stag.
You get a bus.
Yeah, you probably get a bus or you get a train, you know, but small things like that, you kind of have to have that little bit of leniency. Or closing time is 12:30, guards are going to come in raid the pub at 12:30. No good if you're going to the stag.
Yeah.
You know, you need that little bit of leniency. I would imagine most towns
have an understanding.
An understanding, a kind of wink, wink, nudge, nudge job.
Hens and stags, yeah. Like, people go to Clonakilty, and it's kind of in the middle of nowhere. It's not that big a town.
It's some spot for a stag.
Yeah, it's cool pubs.
Yeah, class pubs. No rules. You know, like, I've been in pubs in Clonakilty, like, and that goes. Within reason, like.
But then it's dingle a bit like that too, because it's so far out.
Yeah, I guess so. It's they're more lenient on you. Like, if you go into a pub now in Care, and you bring a stripper into the pub, it's probably going to be frowned upon. If you do that in Clonakilty and say to the bar woman, "Look, I have a stripper coming in, 20 lads coming in, we're going to drink here for the rest of the night. Do you mind?" Yeah, no bother. Like, we went to a good pub in Clonakilty. The bar woman was very good. We said we're hungry. She said, "I'll order in 10 pizzas there. Sit down." She ordered in 10 pizzas, threw them out on the table. We ate and drank there all night.
That's their attitude, is we're going to look after who comes in.
Yeah, whereas like other places, they're kind of against that. You know, they're like, oh no, we've a nice pub here, we don't want you breaking it up. Well, do you want money in your till?
Yeah.
I think that's the kind of little Irish thing there. But it could be a big market. Like, we're losing a lot of people to fucking Prague and...
There's more and more Irish stags and hens going to England and going to fucking... Prague.
Yeah.
You've been invited to one in Spain.
Yeah, Barcelona, yeah.
A stag in Barcelona.
Yeah. It's going to be cultured.
That's a 3-hour flight, is it?
It was two and a half, yeah.
That's the furthest I've ever heard for a stag now.
I've been to Germany on a stag. 2 hours as well.
Oh my God.
But like, so cheap.
Is it really?
Yeah. Right. So 4 weeks apart, I went on a stag to Cologne.
Mm-hmm.
Flights, accommodation for 2 nights. Bus and transfer, 200 quid.
Right, that's not right? bad.
I went to Kilkenny for one night on a stag.
Yeah.
Accommodation, bus, 200 quid.
Lad, what kind of bus did you get?
No, but like, you know, we got the bus and then like, sorry, there was an activity there as well. We went shooting included.
Okay.
So, but like, you can't drink before the shooting.
Oh, yeah.
So like, you know, we didn't have the first drink on the night until 8 o'clock.
Oh.
Dry enough.
A load of men in each other's company not drinking.
Yeah, it was just like one lad went to me like, is this what fucking stags are like? Because yeah. I'm not getting married if they are.
Okay, well, you need activities. I think that's a thing in other countries, the adventure holiday that they go for. I know people and they go on holiday and you're like canoeing and cycling and, you know.
So, fella's going to Spain cycling for a week. You know, how bad is your wife that you have to go and tell her you're doing that? I don't. That's, again, chafing. You know, getting sunburnt on the bike, getting tired, dehydrated. That's not a fucking hot. Like, unless they're cycling, like, and it's just stopping at pub every fucking 2 miles. That's not a holiday. If you're going to go that far to Spain, why are you getting a bike and cycle the fucking thing? Why not, do you know, lie on a sunbed in the sun?
Yeah, but you get to see the place on the bike.
Smack won't be doing the Camino anytime
fuck
soon.
Fuck you. Who's he?
The Camino, it's a walk. People, you walk across northern Spain.
No.
It's take thousands, probably like a million people a year do it or something.
Right, what's so good about it?
It's an experience, man.
Yeah, but I guarantee if you went on Google Maps and typed in the Camino now, you'd probably go through it like, and have a look. Like, and be like, ah, oh, that's cool.
It's not the same. I'm telling you, lad, the first time I climbed a mountain on my own, it's an experience.
Maybe climbing mountains is, you know, again, I'm not
you get
gone.
To the top and you like see shit and it's like, oh, wow.
Yeah, but imagine having a crack a night out and been like, that was one of the best nights of my life. It's
yeah, but
exhilarating.
I do both.
You should be wrecked, lad, after getting down from the mountain. Sightseeing, sorry, we'll get back to the others. Sightseeing for me is just, one of the biggest anti-climaxes of my life was Statue of Liberty.
We didn't actually go to it.
We fucking got two trains out to it.
Yeah, New York is bigger than I thought, okay?
Jesus,
it looked like
Christ.
It was like an inch on the map. We were 2 hours on the train.
It is very underwhelming, though.
Oh,
I completely agree.
And you were like, let's get a boat out. I was like, but it's still going to be that. It's still going to be that. Like that's the Statue of Liberty. That's not going to do nothing. We get a boat out and see it all so we can get closer to it. And they're not moving either, like. Fucking hell. Now, if you'd have said to me, like, let's get a jet ski.
I did.
A jet ski.
I got a jet ski down the Hudson, round the Statue of Liberty, under the Brooklyn Bridge, and it made the Statue of Liberty a little bit cooler.
That's cool. I'd like to do that.
So why didn't you suggest that?
Well, I wanted to get back to Woodlawn.
Go
I had things to be doing.
Divines.
Yeah, I had things to be doing. But I think sightseeing can be overwhelming. Or underwhelming, sorry.
Okay, I think that Ireland can do some of what the likes of Santa Ponsa, the session places are doing, right?
Yeah.
Because nights out in Ireland are brilliant. And good old day drinking. But I think you can mix in a small bit of sightseeing. Like, let's just say you're going from Dublin to Cork for a night out.
Yeah.
Couldn't you pull into the Rock and Cashel for an hour? Break the journey. See that. You wouldn't be too tired.
Okay. That's not a bad call there. Do you think we're doing tours wrong then when we're selling it to... The Yanks is obviously a big market.
Mm.
We're selling it and they're coming in and it's like, oh, you know, let's go and see... Glen the Lock and let's see this and that. Why don't we say, right, we're going to give you the full Irish experience. We're going to bring you, you're going to come into Dublin Airport, we're going to take you, see Glen the Lock, then we're going to go down and see the Rock of Cashel, then we're going to get you pissed.
Yeah.
And bring you to Supermax. And you'll probably get a slap in the jaw, but that's the Irish experience. Like I don't think we're selling the full experience to them.
Okay.
We bring them to Temple Bar.
Which is not really...
Where it's, again, like it's Irish America.
You have to have a bit of that.
Bit of diddly eye.
I know, you like, when tourists go into Temple Bar, they feel, I'm in the tourist area, I'm safe, everything's nice,
yeah.
Everything's under control, I know what's happening, everyone speaks English or whatever. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You need a bit of that. Like, that's like your strip.
I'm going to set up my own business, lad.
What?
Two Johnny's Tours. Giving out, like, proper Irish experiences. You know, come with us, get hungover.
Get a breakfast roll.
Yeah, get it. Yeah, do you know what I mean? That's what you want to be saying.
But that's what I'm saying is the magic of Ireland. Like, the way foreigners see Ireland is like this mystical land of leprechauns and fog and, you know, green fields.
Derby O'Gill.
And shillelies. the fuck is a shillelagh? Some sort of a stick you bait lads with. It's a shillelagh, right?
Do you remember there used to be a wrestler and like his special weapon was a shillelagh? He was an Irish lad called Finley.
No.
Fucking stereotypical. And his music was like, my name is Finley and I like to fight. And he'd come out with a shillelagh like. No, it can be a dangerous enough weapon, like, but he was wiping lads out with it. Like. No, Triple H had a sledgehammer and your man had a shillelagh, like, and he was doing fucking uncalled for damage by with the shillelagh. Sorry, that's
just okay, I'm just going to throw it at you. The most visited sites in Ireland that you have to pay for. Number 5, Johnny, the Book of Kells. Again,
you can't see it on the podcast, you know, but I'm rolling my eyes there.
So that's in Trinity College and it's just... It's supposed to be amazing. Like,
Trinity's too big, anyway. You fucking, you'll never find it.
Yeah, Trinity is hard to navigate. But the library in Trinity is probably worth seeing if you're into that kind of stuff.
It's meant to be cool.
The National Aquatic Centre. Lauren, you got these stats for us. Do you want to elaborate on that? Like,
yeah, that's a strange one as it is a swimming pool.
Yeah. We were there. We did like diving. It's cool, but...
Would you come to Ireland specifically to see the National Aquatic Centre?
Surely, if you're an American, they have better swimming pools than that out there, like.
Yeah.
That's an odd one.
Anyway, number 3, Dublin Zoo. 1.2 million people. Now, zoos are good. Like, when I went to Sydney in Australia, I had to go see the zoo. Everyone's like, oh, you got to go see the zoo. They do this big display and the city's in the background and the bird, like this fucking eagle flies in and lands on your man's arm and all. And I went and it was cool. Like, but they have stuff we don't have.
Yeah. Our zoo is not fucking great. We went, me and you, on it.
I enjoy Dublin Zoo now. I meant to go at night time when they do the big lights display at Christmas or whatever it is.
Oh, that'd be cool, yeah.
Okay, number 2 is your favourite place. 1.5 million visitors a year go to the Cliffs of Moher in Clare.
Mm.
And number 1, the power of the brand. 1.7 million visitors a year is the Guinness Storehouse in Dublin. Well, you've been there. It's cool. It's worth seeing.
I've never been.
It's worth going to, yeah.
I'm not one now for sights. Obviously, you know, when there's a Guinness involved, it makes it a little bit easier. We were presenting something in the Guinness Storehouse one night and there's a cool bar up the top and you can see the whole of Dublin. And again, I'm not one for sightseeing, but being up high, I do like just looking at, like, you know, small things. Yeah, I quite like that.
Did they bring the Queen of England there when she was here in her state visit?
Did you? She was mopping Guinness.
Prince, and the husband.
Whose name escapes me?
The Duke, whatever his name is.
The Duke of Edinburgh or something like that. But that would surely be a boost for tourism then. Philip. You go.
Right, Kerry, their big thing is Muckross House. But I think Killarney, fucking all the Yanks go to Killarney.
But there's so many free things in Kerry, so I'm not surprised that they're not in the top 5.
The waterfall?
You don't pay, so how do they count people going in there?
Every couple who goes to Killarney goes out to Tork Waterfall and they get a nice photo for the Instagram.
And then they break up the week after.
There's the castle. Ross Castle is class. That's worth seeing. Killarney then, Johnny. Great night out.
Yeah, it is. And do you know what ruins the night out in Killarney?
What?
The Americans.
Is there money in moat?
Yeah, like there was just... I'm not being...
You're not knocking the
racist. Yeah, I'm not racist around. I'm not. But like a lot of them are big. When pubs are busy and there's a fucking 8 foot tall, 8 foot wide fella there with socks and sandals on. You're killing your vibe a bit, like.
I'm going to say, the problem, now, we've a lot of Americans listening. Lads, thanks so much for listening. We love you.
We love you.
But the issue with American tourists in Killarney is their size to spend ratio. You can get a little 9-stone whippet from Cork who'll come in and he'll drop €80. Whereas you can get a man from Virginia there and he's 7 foot tall and he's maybe... I don't know what you guys work in pounds, but let's just say he's a big man.
£2 million.
Right, he's a big man and he's only supping Guinness.
Yeah.
And the boys who do the country shows, they do sound in a lot of the big venues, the hotels, the INEC, all these places in Killarney. They told us that the busloads of Americans come in, they go up to the bar and they get a pint of Guinness and they get 2 small glasses and they pour the pint of Guinness into the 2 small glasses because that is cheaper than ordering 2 glasses of Guinness.
Yeah. So that's what you're up against.
So Americans, right, you think you've got a bad name because of Trump or, you know, invading the Middle East or whatever, but I'm telling you, here in Ireland, that's what you're known for. So next time, you know, you've got an American relative going visiting Ireland, say to them, guys, just buy a fucking pint of Guinness each and just fucking drink it. Do not complain. Wait for it to settle. Don't ask how much it is. You don't have to tip. Just drink it.
I love that. That should be on a welcome to Ireland. Please note. Cut to video of Johnny V.
Okay, so that's what I think why foreign people come to Ireland, because we were blown away. Like you said, the Queen coming to Ireland does a lot for Irish tourism in England. And then Kim Kardashian came here with the other lad.
With Kanye on a honeymoon.
And they went to Limerick.
So they landed in Cork. They stayed in Castle Oliver in Limerick. They took a bike tour on the Ballyhoura ways.
Ballyhoura, now that is nice.
Yeah, in Limerick. And then they ate a picnic in Brough. In Brough. A picnic.
Now,
they wouldn't even go and get a panini in the local spare,
I think there's a mace in Brough. I did a gig in Clancy's Bar in Brough one night. And in the middle of it, this lad walked in head to toe in Elvis gear. And he stopped us and he was like, "Hey guys, what do you know about Elvis?" And we were like, "I don't know, blue suede shoes." He's like, "Blue suede shoes and A. Okay, hit it." And then he did two songs and he walked out the door again.
That's insane.
So that's what you're talking about in Brough.
And also Kim and Kanye went to the cinema in Portlaoise and also went to the cinema in Tullamore. What in the name of Christ are they risking their lives going to fucking those places?
Yeah. Did the kids with them?
They had no kids at this point. Sure, it was the honeymoon.
Yeah.
Who the fuck goes to the cinema twice on their honeymoon?
There's not much else to do in the Midlands.
Either that or go to the Bord na Mona factory. Kind of like, fuck that, man. I'm going to cinema.
Get out. They have a team of people working for them. Research where you're going. Yeah. Who's over in America going, "Oh my God, guys, you got to go to Brough, I'm telling you."
Storm Cinemas.
You just got to go to Tullamore. What I've been telling you about this place, Kanye, you got to go to Tullamore.
Your best Mark Wahlberg impression.
Yeah.
It wasn't Mark Wahlberg. It wasn't Mark Wahlberg.
Okay. Can we get back? We're talking about foreigners coming to Ireland and stuff. Why do we go abroad then?
The sun.
Number one. Right. The sun.
We can't compete with the sun.
Number two. Price.
Price
is the big one. And like it or lump it, it'll dictate a lot of things we do. And particularly, you can go abroad. You can go to Santa Ponsa, Costa del Sol, any of these places.
You can go abroad.
You can go there cheaper than going to... You could go to Santa Ponsa for a week and I reckon two nights in Ireland would cost the same. It's the prices of the hotel, the price of the drink, the price of the food.
Okay, a price of hotel now is a big one in Ireland. Dublin hotels, Lauren did some digging first there. A 3-star hotel, very hard to get it for less than €90.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Jesus, yeah. In Dublin?
Yeah. What were you saying? 95, Lauren, was what was coming in at?
Yeah, and that was just an average. I paid €290 the night for $1 in last year.
Jeez.
Didn't help that I was in Coppers at 6:30.
Wow.
And didn't get the €290 worth. Yeah.
You just need to put on your Miss Claire sash and pull. Yeah, you pull.
Yeah.
I'll find someone else.
Bring your toothbrush in your dress, just... Get free
podcast disclaimer.
Dublin is where all our tourists land, but Ireland in general can be expensive for food and drink. Mm-hmm. They're your main expenses.
Food and drink, yeah, for sure. Like a 3-course meal in Dublin
was averaging at
€60 per person, and the same if you were to go to Lisbon, a 3-course meal in a medium enough restaurant, €30. So it's double the price. Yeah. In Dublin that it is in Lisbon.
Barcelona 40, Rome 50, Paris 50, London 60 as well. Yeah, London would be as expensive as Ireland now.
A beer in Lisbon, €1.50. Beer in Dublin, a fiver, and that's in
I don't think you get a beer for fiver.
Yeah, yeah.
Find it tough.
Yeah, you're talking £6 anyway, definitely. Everything is just so expensive. Why would you just go abroad?
No, stop. But the crack.
Yeah, the crack cannot be competed.
I'm telling you, if you go to that stag in Barcelona, lad, I think Dublin's a better drinking town than Barcelona.
Yeah, definitely.
I'd prefer to have my stag in Dublin than in Barcelona.
It's tough. It'll be.
It'll be savagery.
It'll be good because the lads are good crack. And they'll make a good crack.
The novelty.
Yeah.
Is there an element though of wanting to get away and not be contactable? As in, if you go on your holidays to Wexford, and God forbid, I don't know, the cat dies. Mm. You have to come home. There's an excuse there to come home. Whereas if you're away, you can't be called and asked to do this, that, and the other.
there probably is a certain amount to that. And again, actually touching on what you said there, Lauren, is like, there's probably like, oh, go to Wexford. No, I'll fucking meet someone I know. So at least when you get away, you're like, right, grand, I'm on holidays. Odds are I won't meet anyone. Although yeah. You always do.
But then, like, if you're going to all the hotspots, you know, Lanzarote or whatever, Santa Pons or the Costa del Sol, sure, they're all full of Irish too.
Yeah, that's true as well. You're not really getting away.
So 8.2 million trips abroad by Irish people.
Fuck.
In 2018. Jesus, Lauren, you're heavy-hitting facts here this week now.
Yeah, I tell you one thing, you're not in the socks off with Lauren, honestly.
And it actually went up last year despite the good weather.
Yeah, so people were still...
trips abroad.
People are still leaving, even with the good weather.
Mm-hmm.
You see, that's the thing, you're not guaranteed it. So people are probably booking in January for their summer holidays abroad. Yeah. Whereas if you knew, right, I'm going to get 3 good months here now, I'll go to Corktown for a week. You know, you probably might chance it. How do we get people in so and keep them and keep them coming back?
I think the strong point of Ireland is the freedom and the crack. Now, you need a car.
You do need a car.
Let's just put that to bed right away. You need to rent a car. If you're coming into Ireland.
Yeah, if you're relying on trains, you're fucked.
Yeah, but driving in Ireland, I would say the roads, drivers in Ireland are quite friendly.
Mm.
Like we drove in America, a lot of lunatics. I was driving in Australia and Asia, whatever. They're all mental. Driving in Ireland is grand. Just take your time, you get there. And go, do the wildness. All that stuff, the Wild Atlantic Way, where you don't know where you're staying, you go on the phone. All accommodation in Ireland is sound. If you're on the Wild Atlantic Way or something and you get an Airbnb or a B&B or a hotel, you're guaranteed it's going to be grand at worst.
Mm. Yeah, exactly.
It's not like, right, I can go to, you know, Bali or something or Thailand and you could be staying somewhere like fucking crickets coming out of the walls and cockroaches. Like, you won't get that in Connemara.
No, worst you get is a smell of granny. One of the rooms or something.
You might get a bang of granny. But like,
you know that smell of old people like.
Old. So how do we rate for food, accommodation, pricing, etc, right? Second week of July via booking.com, 3 stars, 2 adults. Galway City was coming in at around 900 to 1100 euro for, this is a hotel. Jesus.
For a full week, yeah, 3-star hotel.
You get a fucking Caribbean cruise for that.
No, Johnny, Mallorca coming in around the same. You know,
a little bit cheaper even.
Where's this other place you have here? Almaty.
Almaty Coast in Italy. Stunning.
Right, they're about the same. New York is going to be more expensive.
Mm.
But if you're Irish and you go to New York, you're just sleeping on your cousin's couch.
Yeah, so you don't. No true. Irish need accommodation in New York. You just keep it someone.
So if you're talking about Tipperary, I use Tipperary.com a bit. If I want to look at like things to see or do in Tipperary, there actually isn't that many things to see or do in Tipperary. Tipperary is not a real destination. It's good for a day trip.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Lots of nice walks. Climb Galtymore or something, right? Not if you're Johnny Smacks, you're going to hate that.
Yeah.
Things to see like the Rocket Castle, Jim of the Mills Pub.
Yeah.
Care Castle, the Swiss Cottage.
So to conclude, come to Ireland.
Yes.
And do all the things that Johnny B and Lauren want to do. Climb all the mountains. Get do lost. All that nice. Yeah. Get lost in Ireland. There you go. That's the tagline. And if you want to actually have the crack, just contact me. All right.
You need your own website, lad. Johnnycrack.com.
Johnny Cracks.
Smacks is 10 best place to get langers with nobody finding out.
10 places with no phone coverage in Ireland.
Yeah. Ryan's of Camden Street are just putting lead in the walls.
Anyone listening who wants to come and visit Ireland, lads, hit us up. We'll give you the tips. We'll give you the tools to go and do it.
Yeah, and we're going to do another episode eventually on like specific places that we recommend.
Yeah,
so you can start emailing them in and we'll gather them all up for another time. Email podcast@thetwojohnnies.ie.
Come on, John. He's been causing traffic disruptions all weekend in town. He's not happy. He's been interrupted from his first cut of silage, but he's here. It's time for Noel Furlong and it's time for Noel's News.
It's Noel's News! I'm young for that.
Well, Noel, how are you?
Fine.
We're sorry for disrupting you from the first cut of silage.
I'm not sure. I'm not doing it.
Who's doing it?
Young fellas.
Yeah?
Young fellas do it.
Did you get in the contractor?
Actually, I'm only an old hobby farmer now, this age of my life.
Jesus Christ. Yeah,
tipping.
That's what all farmers say.
Yeah, I'll play it down. Oh, they're not my cows. I don't know who owns them cows. Oh, that's not milk in the fridge at all. So, it's a bumper time though, bumper time of year.
Yeah, busy time of year.
Cutting silage, there's fellas at turf, there's, you know,
turf, yeah.
Calves been let out, getting loose. There's things going on. I haven't time to be dilly dallying now today.
Okay, right, right. Get on with it then.
Okay, news. There's a new buck in town. And it's not Kearney's new bull. Did you see it?
No.
Oh, it's a, he got an Angus black bull. And 'tis true what they say. The black bull for the big horn.
I've never heard anybody say that.
You don't be listening. And the red bit sticking out at the top. 'Tis like a fucking the handbrake of a crane. A powerful yoke. The poor dog didn't know where to look. Remember Cornel?
Yeah, I remember Cornel.
Remember, I'll tell you about Cornel the dog. Some dog to rot.
That was back in episode one, yeah?
Some dog to rot. He would unblock a drain for you know. That's dog, Rodney. But I'll tell you, he was put fairly in the corner by the bull.
Oh, I'm not surprised.
He's fucking covering half a Kilbrine. He'd nearly keep into Mike Murphy now the riding he's doing.
Buddy, yeah?
Yeah. Remember Mike Murphy? Winning streak.
Yeah.
That's what he used to call it. When he'd be walking home the next day with no pants on. Ask for spin the wheel. Don't fucking, you don't want to know.
Jeez.
Now, the new buck in town I'm talking about is, of course, the recently elected Cyril Ramaphosa, President of South Africa. Jesus. You thought I was going to say Sotip Makra something? No, no. But there actually was, did you hear this? There was a Nigerian woman elected to the county council in Meath.
It's the woman from Gogglebox.
Well, whatever she gets up to the weekend now. <is not. laughs> But I'll tell you, there's no way I'd vote for her.
Why?
She's Fine Gael. Now, the new president of South Africa, he has appointed a cabinet, which is, that's ministers of the government, right? And in South Africa, the president, it's different to here, the president actually does things.
Okay.
Oh. In South Africa. Not just, you know, playing with the dog and going to All-Ireland and all that. And don't get me wrong, I like Michael D. Michael D, gas man. But he never paid me for the dogs.
Go away.
Yeah. You know, he had two dogs.
Yeah, did he buy them off you?
Yep. And they're called Broad and Shada, which means pride and silk. And I named them after the quick feet of Nicky English. Dancing Nicky by Pride and Silk.
Okay.
To Nicky's two boots. So the president of South Africa and his new cabinet, the big story is half of them are women. First time in history, he even appointed a woman minister of infrastructure and development, and she's from the opposition party.
Wow.
She's not even part of his party at all. Like over here, they don't even talk to each other at all. You know what I mean? Across the hall and the doll. But this woman's party, do you know what the party is called?
What?
The Good Party. The Good Party. That's what it's actually called. And the president now, he's from our old buddies, the African National Congress Party, which of course was the party of Nelson Mandela. You remember him?
Yeah.
Gas man. We had him over one time to present medals to the juveniles. Oh, he was great with young lads.
Was he?
Nelson Mandela. Yeah, yeah. They loved him. It was a time, you remember Jake Kiley got player of the tournament?
Yeah.
And he came up and he said, Jake Kiley, I give this medal to you. Inside in the Shamrock.
Did he get
Yeah. Come forward, Francis Delaney, and collect your trophy. Kindly sponsored by John Cork Jewelers. Castle Street Care. Christmas Club now open. Oh. 052-41774.
I hope that's not the number.
He's like, hey, he came over. And he was very good. Nelson Mandela. Best man. So the new president, he was inaugurated last week at a ceremony in a stadium. They had a full stadium of people to watch him and hear him speak. You could do the Irish one in the Shamrock. There'd be no one at it. Huh? Cocktail sausage, Mr. President? Huh? Glass in my waddy, Fran Ucron. So, fucking full stadium of people watching him. And a few planes flew over, and the army had a parade. He's not going to die, all right? You're not well. You have to get in a dose of the spinnies, yeah. Yeah. The president, after he was inaugurated, he went out in the field. He went out in the field in the stadium, and he started dancing. And I heard the music, the fucking cat.
What's this?
And not a jive. They have lots of different types of dance in Africa. They dance the guara guara, or they dance the owl Mawelde Idabala dance. The South African Siege of Venice, as I like to call it. And they have a good old rhythm, all the South African lads. They do, in fairness now. They get loose. And they can all throw a move, do you know what I mean? Now, fucking Irish dancing lads are like they have a 4x2 down their shirt. Straight back on them, the legs gone. Or the brush dance. Do you ever do the brush? Yeah, on the box set. But, so best of luck to South Africa. They have a whole new government and half of them are women. There's going to be some fucking rows there. Okay? Now, you've heard of Knockavilla Kickhams.
Yes.
You've heard of A.C. Mulnahan. But have you heard of the Chicago Cubs?
The baseball team.
Fuck it, I thought I'd get you there. The cub is a baby animal, right? But they're like meat-eating animals, like an old bear or an old tiger. Or the Walsh is a Capoquin. But they're a baseball club out in Chicago, right? In the city of Chicago, which of course is a lovely song.
Yeah.
Remember the city of Chicago?
Yeah.
Written by Christy Moore's brother.
Yeah.
That's right, Jam. Barry. That's a fact. Oh. You know, he goes by Luca Bloom.
Nice.
That's Christy Moore's brother wrote the city of Chicago, and then Christy made it famous. But of course, the local version is always done by Tommy Tarmac. As you know, Tommy worked in the road for years, and the old hot air and the old fumes got at him, and they affected his voice. No. So he'd have to stop every line when he'd be singing it. And he'd sing, in the city of Chicago, where the evening shadows fall. And Pat Buckley turned to back him on the guitar, huh? There are people dreaming. On the hills of So anyway, Chicago Cubs baseball team, they were hurling a match or playing a match down in Houston, Texas. In baseball now. I didn't know you were allowed to do this, but you're allowed to throw the ball.
That's the whole idea. That's
fucking stupid. So anyway, there's a fella, he just stands there and he hits the ball that you throw at him, right? He stands still like, and he's trying to throw it. He's trying to hit it, right? But the other fella throws it right at him. He throws it right at him. You think he throw it away from him? And then he's only hoping that he doesn't hit it. So I didn't fucking Americans, I'm mad at sports. So he stands there and he swings the bat. And that's the next thing. They call it a baseball bat, they call it.
Yeah.
Big stick. Heavy at one end. You'd be fucking right joking now for baiting, lads. But but here's the catch. You're not allowed bait, lads. Fucking crazy. You're not allowed to hit each other. Fucking sissy's game now, I'll tell you. Oh,
Jesus. What? Podcasts, you can't say that word.
I suppose you like it.
What? Baseball.
Yeah.
It's a good game, yeah.
Yeah. They control it fast now, in fairness.
Yeah, no, they have quick hands.
The one good thing about it is, they serve pints to the crowd. So, I suppose it's like watching darts. Spectator sport.
Yeah.
My favourite spectator sport was, we used to get a bag of cans and go up and sit in the railway track. And then Dermot had a pellet gun and he used to shoot all the county councillors as they came around. Bit of harmless old fun.
Harmless fun,
harmless
yeah.
old fun. So, there's a stick man and he's playing with Chicago Cubs and his name is Albert Almora Jr. His father enjoyed being called Albert Almora so much he fucking named the son the same. So the ball was coming at him and he swung the bat and didn't the ball go flying arseways into the crowd, through the netting.
Jeez.
And bushed a young one in the face. A child. And the hospital said her condition is bust. And he ran over to her and he felt so bad he started crying. Out in the field. Imagine he saw fucking Carrick Swan versus Marlefield. Men, women, children, all fucking fair game. But that's camogie for you. So Albert said, and he was saying, Albert, he said, I have two young boys at home. God willing, I'll be able to have a relationship with this little girl for the rest of my life. Now, I know Texas is a bit redneck, but Albert, you cannot have a relationship with a child. You just can't.
I don't think he meant like that.
Well, he have a wife. You know what I mean? Having any friends of his own. And he said they want to put netting all around the field now. Okay. Not just behind him. They want to stop balls going into the crowd. But I say, Albert, harden the fuck up. Because a ball going into the crowd can be the best part of a game.
Yeah.
You know, it's your only chance to flog a fella.
It's true.
You know what I mean? Many a Rovers man went into the crowd. And he mightn't come back out if it's too fucking handy. You know, I'll tell you that. Just my last story of the week. They're all talking about it. Mastitis. No, I'm right. It's the television show has been going around and they're all going mad about it. And you told me you haven't seen it, so I'm going to give you here a one-page review of Game of Thrones.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
Game of Thrones, I'm going to give it away now, right?
Is there spoilers in this?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, there's spoilers in this. So if anybody hasn't watched Game of Thrones, just listen to it anyway. Fuck it, like, save yourself the time.
Game of Thrones, set in Galway in the late 80s. The main character is Ned. He's a tillage farmer from Winterfell. He have a heap of fucking children. He even has a bastard. And the wife lets him. Ned went off to fight. He got in a row. And he came home with a child. And later we find out, fucking didn't his child at all. He don't even mind it. It's his sister's child. She's gone to the nuns or fucking someplace. And the king of the whole place, he's an absolute fucking pisshead called Robert Baratheon. Pisshead. Mad for the session. He marries this absolute minxy blondie one. Cersei is her name. She's too young. And she's saucy. And he's not able for her at all. The fucking old man with the young wife. Buying a book for someone else to read.
Oh.
That's all he's doing now. And who's writing her? Her own brother.
Jesus Christ.
Fact. Now, I know she's a fine looking woman. But like, could you not fucking go in town and get your own woman? Like, so the saucy one, she becomes queen. Like, she wants to be the queen. She's an absolute fucking lady horn for the throne now. She's mad, right? The husband dies, and doesn't her prick of a son become the king instead? And she's tried to control him, but he's an absolute genius, this fella now. Someone poisons him. I don't know why. They never explain really why. Just fuck him, he dies. He dies at his own wedding.
Jeez, that's bad.
Must have been some session. Then, do you know that guy from Love Hate? He's in it.
Oh, Aidan Gillen.
Yeah, and he owns a brothel.
Jeez.
Now, I'm not sure if you're too familiar with brothels. I don't know how often you go into them or what, but the amount of writing going on in this place in Game of Thrones, you wouldn't see it in Jigginstown. And then he becomes a pirate. And it's all the one anyway. Ned's daughter fucking stabs him right in the neck. But she owed it to him now, in fairness. It was a nice bit of niggle between the two of them going on a bit. There's a few more fights then. A few more lads died. There's a religious cult. These hardcore monks come into it then out of nowhere. And then the saucy one, they make her walk home naked. And the whole town shouts shame at her. Nothing hasn't happened to us all. Often happened to me. But she gets pure tick. And then another son of hers is supposed to marry this Bjor, who has loads of money. Big horsey crowd. Wherever they got the money. The boom. Her name is Marjorie Tyrell. Sounds like something you'd put into a sponge cake. And then where the wedding is going on, the mother blows up the whole church. Monks, guests, the whole lot in it.
Jeez.
I heard she didn't want to pay for the reception. But yeah. So there's this other young one with blonde hair. She's an albino. And she gets her baps out, which is lovely. That's what's gone a bit flat now until that moment. And she marries this lad. He's a big lad, like kind of a Native American. And I fell asleep for a bit then. And when I woke up, she had a load of dragons. Fucking, I don't know. And you think, like, right, that's our stat. There's no man going to fight a dragon. She's going to fucking piss the game from now on. Then some other pirate lad comes in and he got a big bow and arrow and he shoots the dragon right in the fucking neck. And that's when the dragon's gone. Okay?
Jeez.
Which is mad because I know a young lad in town, Kenneth McCarthy. He got hit by a bow and arrow in the face and he didn't even spill his pint. That's a fact. That is a fact. He got hit by a crossbow in the tooth. There's a lad with no Mickey. There's a dwarf. There's an onion man. And there's a woman who strips off and she's cracking a bit of gear. And then you find out she's an old one. She has this kind of magical necklace or something she wears. So beware of the woman wearing too much makeup. Old powder. Then there's... I nearly forgot. There's another prick then. The Night King.
Okay.
He calls himself, right? King me bollocks. He wouldn't manage the Parish League, this fella. He is an army of zombies and he still manages to lose the Shagging War. Useless. And I mentioned the bastard at the start. Jon Snow. He's riding the albino one with the lovely Baps. And I thought, great, here we go. Turns out, she's his aunt from Cork. He's riding his own aunt.
Sick.
Yeah, his show took a fucking turn for the worse now. And then he gets a bad dose of the fear. He doesn't want anyone knowing that he was riding his aunt. So he kills her.
As you do.
And that's it.
Well, he has to go live in the North Pole then. Because an army of lads with no willies said so. And then his brother's in a wheelchair and they make him king. I suppose he's the only one who hasn't killed or rode some long time. So they make him king. Game of Thrones, in conclusion, there was a good bit of riding and tits in the first two series. And then it kind of tailed off. So I have a bit of an issue with that.
More riding.
Yeah, more riding, less dragons, if I could give any critique.
Noel, you never cease to amaze me.
Well, now you don't have to watch it.
Yeah, exactly. You've saved me however many hours.
Yeah, so I'm...
Thanks for that.
I'm going out to get it, rob a bit of neighbour's turf.
Good man, see you later.
Borrow.
Don't forget to rate, review and tell your friends about the Two Johnnies podcast and use the hashtag Two Johnnies Pod. That's the number two Johnnies Pod to have your say. You can also get in touch on Instagram at the Two Johnnies and check out thetwojohnnies.ie where you'll find all the links to our social media, videos, songs, upcoming events. And also for Android users who are downloading the podcast, it's now available on Spotify. And if you download the Acast app, it'll be there every week. And everyone else, don't forget to subscribe to it. Jesus, you'll get a notification. You'll know it's up then. You won't have to be freaking out. Thank you. She loves to get down and dirty when she used to play a minor camogie for Clare, of course. Lauren, it's your time to shine. What's your mystery topic this week?
All right. So I am going to ruffle a few feathers here, I would hope. And I'm hoping I'm going to get some blank faces from you guys immediately. If you are talking to a girl and she is a mother, does that turn you off?
For fuck's sake, Lauren.
Oh, shit.
A motherfucker.
Lauren, you are.
No.
No.
It's not a deal breaker, like. I mean, at first, I suppose it depends what you're after.
Mm-hmm.
Depends who the father is.
Yeah, that's one thing. If it does the. Does what has gone on before.
The dynamic.
Yes. Does the situation, like if it was a long term relationship and there was a child and then obviously they're still in contact, or if it was a one night thing that ended up in a pregnancy, yeah. Does that affect maybe your thoughts on it?
That aspect wouldn't bother me now, Johnny.
No, I don't think it's like it shouldn't affect you in that if you really like a girl, you like her for her, you don't like her for who she used to be with. I think that's the big thing, you know, or you know, whatever's happened previous, like men are different. Some men now, I know it would be a massive problem for them.
Mm-hmm.
Me personally, like, no. It wouldn't, like.
Might be handy if, like, to get an old, like, if she said, yeah, the young fella's 8 and he's class at hurling. Might be like, do you know what? Maybe if I take this young lad under the wing, yeah, yeah. Save me all the changing nappies and shit, you know? Could be a win-win, Lauren.
But would you feel like you're being dropped into a father role when you probably weren't expecting it?
No, it's going to be real good lines of communication needed there at first, because if you're starting to go out with a young one, it has to be all romance and excitement at first. Mm-hmm. And I don't know who's minding the baby, like the grandparents or whatever, the child. And then you can't be doing any of that daddy shit straight away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know, for sure.
Well, I think that's got to be months down the road.
Like. Yeah, I think any mother who has a brain like will court you first, as they say.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they'll introduce you to the child after, I don't know, I suppose 6 or 7 months when you know it's the relationship is going somewhere. I mean, you're not going to go out, get with a young one, and then she'll be like, oh, like the next day, here's my fucking son. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, no way. Hoo-ha hoo. No, like, I don't think that's going to happen. I think, you know, the mother in this case, or the dad. Would you to spin this topic on its head, Lauren?
No.
If a fella had a kid, would that put you off?
I think there'd be pros and cons. Pros would be, it probably would mean that the man is a little bit more mature and sophisticated because he has to look after someone, look after his child.
Unless he's a shit dad.
And then a con would be, like, clearly the amount of free time that they have is probably quite reduced.
Mm.
And I think in the initial stages, that wouldn't be ideal. Mm.
That's a fair point. I think you'd have to go into it with your eyes open big time in that, you know, you'd have to accept, right, you know, from our perspective, right, she's got a kid, the kid will have to come first, obviously, mm-hmm. you know, ahead of a relationship. And you've got to be selfless in that way, that you'd have to accept that. But then, you know, at the same time, you want your relationship to be going well as well. It's
at the first, you're looking for the all excitement and come on, let's go away. Can't, I have to drop Mickey to under 12 training in the morning, like.
But if the child was thanks to a long-term relationship, and then that relationship ended badly, the mother is still going to be in communication with her ex. Yeah. Would that be an issue?
You've got to be really, what's the word, comfortable in your own skin, mm-hmm. and really trust her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's going to be in contact with another man for the rest of the year of relationship. I can understand, like, you'd
and
be like,
clearly history there.
Yeah, you know, and yeah, there's clearly been an attraction there as well.
Ah, but
you wouldn't want to be vulnerable doing it. That's what I'd be saying.
Yeah, but like, if they had any spark, they'd be doing something together because they're going to surely be meeting each other once a week over the child. It's not like you bump into your ex on a night out from all those years gone. It's like, oh my god, I can't remember why we broke up. We were fighting. I was so stupid. No, I was. This is like, I remember exactly. We meet every week and I have
you
to look at you.
Bastard.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't think the chances of like her hooking up with her baby daddy probably slim, like.
And so if you were swiping through Tinder, and I know now you've said many times you're not on Tinder, but if she had her son or daughter in their photos and maybe even made reference to it in their bio, it wouldn't have any bearing on whether you'd swipe right.
Tinder's different. Like, why? Neither of us are on Tinder, obviously, or anything like that. But I think on Tinder, I don't know, the vibe I get from some of my pals and lads who are on Tinder is they're on Tinder for...
Get down on it.
Yeah, bit of, in the words of Will Smith, getting jiggy with it.
Mr. Love,
I don't know if people are on trying to find, yeah, proper love life.
Do you know what I find, though, with Tinder, and that makes it sound like I'm on Tinder quite a bit. Lads would have photos about, like, a niece or a nephew, or a younger brother and sister, and they very explicitly state, this is not my child, this is a niece or a nephew.
Oh, but it's worth explaining.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rather than somebody just swiping, like, being like, oh, they've got...
Yeah, but...
Somebody's like, this isn't mine.
Yeah, I just feel like...
Disclaimer, the kid is not mine.
I'm just using it to show that I'm friendly.
Yeah.
I didn't have a dog at the time, so I went with the child.
I'm just using this to show I'm a cool uncle.
Yeah, but like, I imagine you want to put all that stuff in there. Like Maury used to say, Maury is tall and would say, if a guy's going to be real short, like, just she's not into that. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
Like, would you
do
like...
Do you have that on your Tinder?
What?
Your height?
Short guys need not apply.
No.
What height are you?
5'11".
Fuck it, you're tall.
Yeah, I know. And then my fan heels, I'm about 6'2".
Fuck it, you...
Not ideal. Cuts out a lot of lads.
Yeah, would you insist that the lad be taller than
you? Yeah.
It's just fucking hell. Like, do you know, it's not like you're 5'8 and then, you know, you're 5'10. Like,
you're tall.
You're cutting out a lot of lads there now.
I know. When I take off my heels, I remember back in college, you decide to not wear heels on a night out.
Mm.
Jesus, the scope for
the
lads you could talk to changes the game. Massively increased.
Fucking hell.
Why is
so
that?
Anybody out there, if you're not 6'2".
I think lads are the same. Lads would prefer that the girl be slightly smaller.
Yeah, a lot of, like, look at Kevin Hart. His missus is way bigger than him.
She wouldn't want to be any smaller.
Yeah, I know. But like, you know, I think lads who think like, oh no, she'd have to be smaller than me, are a little bit fucking shallow.
Maybe it's never happened to you.
Yeah, well, I'm fucking 6 foot. Like, I'm not too bad.
You've never gone out with a girl who's taller than you?
No, but...
Yeah, don't, until it's happened to you, Johnny. You know?
But if you're looking for attraction first off the bat, like on the likes of your Tinder or in a nightclub, and you just want to see them and see if you're attracted based on their aesthetics or their physical characteristics, then I suppose height is probably one thing you look at.
Yeah, and be honest with yourself.
And then when you get to know them and they're not tall, then you might make allowance.
Okay.
I'm getting some blank faces here.
No, no, I get you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you might see a guy in first and be like, oh, he's not tall enough, ruling him out. And then, like, for some other reason, get to know him and be like,
yeah,
actually, he's got a heart of gold.
Yeah, yeah. And then his height does not matter.
You know, that $1 million adds an inch.
Yeah. To his height.
To his height and length. if
oh, yeah.
I've never been on Tinder, but if I was and a girl had up mother, it would make you think. Yeah, I'm not going to say that it would have no effect.
Yeah, it would definitely make you think, I guess.
Especially for us, we're so busy. See, like,
Tinder's hard. You can't really get to know their personality on that. Whereas if you met a girl on a night out and you were like, oh, sparks flew. Mm. And then she was like, oh, I've got a kid. You'd be like, ah, yeah, it's all right. Like, you're sound. You know what I mean? You seem fairly.
Because people take it differently. Some people go full mammy. And then other people are like still cool.
Yeah.
And still living their life, but have a kid.
That's what I think. The thing is, like, if you do have a kid, like, it's to not let that define you.
Yeah.
Don't be one like, you know, been like, I'm a mammy. You're like, you fucking hell, we know, like, shut up about it. Like, you know, don't let it define you. Like, it's
going,
great to see
going around wearing a fleece.
Yeah, it's it's
driving a 7-seater.
Yeah, yeah. Driving a Picasso.
Ah, you're not dating her.
It's great to see, like, you know, single mothers, single parents, like single fathers who still have a perfectly good lifestyle.
The other side of it though is if things went well with said woman and then for some reason the relationship fizzles out, like you're breaking up with not just her but
you're almost breaking up a unit. That can be tough.
But then I imagine that like most single mothers would be quite selective about who they introduce the child to.
That's exactly what I was saying.
She wouldn't rush it either.
There's probably almost a year period there, like, where you, like, you know, no parent in right mind is going to introduce a man or a woman to their kids who they don't think it's going to last forever, like, you know. So I think that would be the thing. And if you do break up, it's just unlucky. I enjoy that topic. That was good. God, I was fucking, geez, yeah, I was fucking deep there. I'm fucking sweating.
Anil, do you want to say it on?
Shit.
No, I think we covered it pretty well there.
So who's the fella you're dating that's got a kid?
Podcast disclaimer.
All right, we're going to round up the podcast as we always do with our yurts and dirts of the week. Johnny B.
We normally repeat it like this.
Yurt and dirt.
I've already blown the load, lad. My yurt was my Marty Maughan pen.
Yeah, my yurt of the week is Gavin and Stacey coming back for a Christmas special on BBC One Christmas Day. One of my favourite show of all time, I would say.
Yeah.
And it's back now with a special, so I'm buzzing for that.
Before you went on your big Ricky Gervais buzz, you were... Gavin and Stacey
was the one. Yeah,
he would not stop going on about fucking Gavin and Stacey.
My dirt of the week then is the Europa League final. Chelsea gave Arsenal a climbing, but that wasn't what people are going to talk about in years to come. It's going to be the fact that Henrik Mkhitaryan, the Arsenal midfielder, couldn't play.
Henrik Mkhitaryan, he's our midfield Armenian.
He couldn't play for Arsenal in the Europa League final because he's from Armenia and there's trouble there with fucking...
Where was it on?
Azerbaijan. Baku.
Why was it in Azerbaijan?
Yeah, I don't know why they had the final there. Anyway.
Are they even in the Europa League, Azerbaijan?
They would be, yeah.
But they're not in Europe.
They play soccer in Europe.
They're in the Eurovision.
Yeah. And they're in the soccer as well. So Mkhitaryan couldn't play because of political troubles. I just think it's a load of shit. And why UEFA had the final in Baku is beyond me. Both clubs got 6,000 tickets, I think, or something like that, and they didn't even sell half their tickets. They returned them. So nobody wanted to go. It was shit. The atmosphere was shit. Why you have it there? That's my dirt of the week.
I understand a neutral venue.
Yeah.
But you can imagine it, like, within your county, a neutral venue. You know, you pick Clonmel as a neutral venue because there's towns all around it who might be in the final. You're not picking somewhere out in the border, like.
Clunine.
Clunine.
Out in Drangan. We have a double yurt. Yeah, we've got a double yurt. We got sent.
Yeah, we've been talking about burger sauce. Mm. People have been writing in saying that they could not get burger sauce in Dublin. Yeah.
We had a woman who wrote in last week. There you go. Woman who wrote in last week, and she said that she ordered a cheeseburger in Supermax in Dublin, and it came with red sauce and not burger sauce, as is the norm everywhere else in the country. So Supermax replied to us. Have we got the letter there?
Lauren?
I will go find it.
Lauren's in the best spot to get it. Explaining why, if you order a burger in the capital, it does not come with burger sauce. It comes with red sauce.
Yeah. So basically, Supermax sent us this letter. Gentlemen, this long-running issue dates back about 30 years, and Supermax opened its first Dublin restaurant just a few doors down from our friends, the Big M, on O'Connell Street.
We're mentioning one, you mentioned the other, McDonald's.
Yeah. Needless to say, we attracted a few customers there at the time. The classics like regular burgers and cheeseburgers were all to go, and people weren't impressed. The standard Supermax burger sauce. So the Dubs didn't like the burger sauce, right?
Because they were used to McDonald's.
Yeah, so they got a lot of complaints from Dublin folk over the weekend, and Pat McDonagh made the decision to swap burger sauce for ketchup on these two products in Dublin. And then he goes on then to absolutely shamelessly plug Supermax, and I'm not going to read. but top marks for effort. So Paddy Byrne here, the Supermax area manager, says, your listener can rest assured that she can still order her beloved cheeseburger or regular burger with whatever sauce she likes in any of our 117 restaurants nationwide. Fuck, this lad is unbelievable. Yeah. But you just have to ask for it, especially in Dublin. So you can get your burger sauce, just ask for it. And yeah, we're going to be testing that theory. So thanks a million to Paddy Byrne, boy. Come on, Paddy. And he sent us a crate of burger sauce, which we will send on to our...
the young lady in Dublin who was looking for it.
Yeah.
But I am keeping the garlic sauce.
Yeah. And Paddy Byrne also sent us on a Samba soccer hat. There it is, boy. It's a navy hat with a little Brazilian lad on it, and it's got Samba soccer, the original Samba soccer hat. So that's going to take pride of place in the studio. So thanks a million to Paddy for that and his swift reply from Supermax.
What a bumper week. Burger sauce, a Samba soccer hat, a photo of John Lahey, Bosco, and two bottles of cognac
from Stormzy. Yeah, great week here in Two Johnny's HQ. We'll be back next week.
Yeah, actually, I'm wearing a jersey we got sent from Tip, New York.
Yeah, give that a shout as well. Anybody going hurling, lads, get in contact if you're going to New York.
If you're going doing a J1 and you're like, oh, where'll I work, what'll I do? Get on to Tip, New York. Or if you're on the other coast, Tip, San Fran.
Yeah, keep it tip, lads.
They'll get you... hurling and footballing, they'll get you a job.
They'll try their best anyway.
They'll do their best.
That's if you're good.
You know, some, if you're shit, you know, maybe not. You're on a couch.
If you're shite, don't do it, lads. That's it this week. We'll be back next week, same time, same channel. From me, Johnny Smacks.
From me, Johnny B.
And from me, Lauren.
See you next week. Good luck.
It's the Two Johnny's Podcast. The Two Johnny's Podcast.
Two Johnny's recording a podcast.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Love espresso, drip coffee, and cold brew? With the Ninja Lux Cafe, if you can crave it, you can brew it. Espresso? Balanced. Drip coffee? Rich. Cold brew? In a flash. With Barista Assist technology, you brew with no stress and no guesswork. and make perfect silky microfoam hands-free from dairy or plant-based milks. Bring the coffee house home and unlock your favorites with the Ninja Luxe Cafe.